Welcome to It's Your Money, the financial podcast that was designed to pull back the curtain on the industry and expose the truth about money and investing. Hi, my name is Paul Nichols. I'm your host. I hope this finds you well. You don't need to know everything if you know the few right things, which is why we originally started this podcast some 7 years ago, coming up on the anniversary. And when we originally did it, it was a radio show, actually, called Coach's Corner. That was in State College, Pennsylvania, where we're headquartered. Later, it expanded to other radio stations, became syndicated. And then after a few years, we gave that up. It was just so demanding, trying to keep up with the weekly schedule. I started with 2 hours, actually, 2 hours live every week. And here I am today. It's been a while since I've been on here. I'm feeling a little rusty. So let me get right into the heart of things. We believe education plus understanding leads to clarity and confidence that results in peace of mind. Education leads to clarity, clarity to confidence. And when it comes to investing, there's a lot of confusion and very little clarity. I would submit to you there's not a lack of information, rather a lack of clarity. One can argue a lack of direction. So in our practice, we focus on peace of mind through education. And that's the intent of this podcast that we do occasionally. Today, I'll be right on point. I want to do a market update. It's been a while since we've done one of those. And I want to talk about where do returns come from? Do returns come from managers or do returns come from the market? So we'll talk about that here in a couple minutes. But let me talk about the market update. The market update is basically a report of several different index that represent different parts of the global marketplace in order to get an idea of how the market's performing. If you have an idea of how the global market is performing from time to time, it should give you an indication of how you're doing. Because when it comes to investing, it's relatively simple. You need to own equities, diversify, understand the difference between umbrellas and suntan lotion, and rebalance and realize that it's not a short-term deal. All of us will be investing all of our lives, so you need to realize that. Some people say to me, well, you know, my time frame is 5 years till I retire. Well, in fact, that may be the case. It's only 5 years till you retire, but I would submit to you it may be 25, 35, 45 years till you check out. How long does your money need to last? Well, until you check out. So it's important when you start to understand the very simplistic principles of investing. The challenge is, how do you do that in a industry that is just so full of opinion and constant encouragement to do imprudent investing acts such as stock picking and market timing and track record investing? And the way that we try to help people avoid that, besides educating them to the realities of academic truth in investing, is start to give them a feel for what the market has done. You know, the market historically has a two-thirds bias. Two out of every 3 years is up, one out of every 3 years is down. You never know which is going to be which or what area of the market is going to be up or down. So this is why it's important to diversify, which brings me back to the reason we do the market update. This is as of June 1st, 2015. Here we are, halfway through the year. Would that be the end of June, I guess? Halfway through the year. And here's where we are. Russell 2500 Index measures the performance of small to mid-size segment of the U.S. stock universe, equity universe. These would be often referred to as SMID cap, but small to mid cap. Year to date, ladies and gentlemen, 2015 year to date, as of June 1st, is 5.74%. So happy days, halfway through the year, on our way to double digits at this pace. Russell 2000, now that measures the performance of just small to very small U.S. companies. And year-to-date, the Russell 2000 is 4.24%. Russell 1000 measures the performance of large U.S. companies. These would be the large cap companies, large in size, capitalization, when they say large cap. And to date, That's 1.52%. So large value, not growth, but large U.S. value companies are in the black, but not much, about a point and a half. When we go to small value, these aren't growth, but value companies. We go to the small value segment that's measured by the Russell 2000 value index. We see that it's just shy of 1% for the year. And then we tie off with the S&P 500, which is widely regarded as the best single gauge of U.S. equity market. This is why you see it on the nightly news, along with the Dow index, which represents 30, what they would call mega cap companies today, the ultra large companies. And the S&P 500 U.S. large growth predominantly area of the marketplace as of June 1st, 2015 is 2.57%. So what we have, ladies and gentlemen, is U.S. large was the winner, winner, chicken dinner last year. Well, long-term bonds was the number one asset class, and it went to U.S. large growth and U.S. large value. And today, they're behind. Small. Small is the winner, winner, chicken dinner so far this year domestically. When we move into the Morgan Stanley Capital International World Index, which is a free-floating adjusted market capitalization weighted index that is designed to measure the performance of developed countries like Australia, France, Germany, New Zealand, United Kingdom, to name a few, is 4.01%, ladies and gentlemen, 4.01% to the positive as of June 2015. When we move into the emerging markets area, which has been the laggard for the last couple years, these would be emerging, not developed U.S. countries, about 22, 23 of those, about the same for developed. About a total of 45, 46 countries that really are prudent countries to be invested in, emerging and developed. The emerging are 4.87. And then when we get into the Morgan Stanley Europe, Australia, Far East, it's 6.5%. This would be an index that's designed to measure the market performance of developed markets, excluding the U.S. and Canada, North America. So when we start to look at the market update as of midway through 2015, it's on track for a very good year, double-digit year potentially in certain areas. The only laggard would be large value and small value, really, and those are in the positive. So everything's in the positive right now. So the market update looks pretty good. Now, why is this important to understand the market update? Well, it's vitally important to understand it because how do you know how you're doing unless you know how the market's doing? Which leads me to really the only kind of rant combination. My intent in the show moving forward is to break it down into three segments. Market update, a rant on something that I read that just seems to be not misleading, but confusing to people. And then a couple academic truths. So this week, I'm going to hit the rant and the academic truths at the same time. I ran across an article recently, and it talked about, and you see these all over here and there occasionally, basically the question was, does your fund manager consistently beat the stock market? Just the very beginning of the article creates confusing by simply asking that question. Does your fund manager consistently beat the stock market? I think a more appropriate question would be, do returns come from managers or the stock market? And clearly the science, very clearly, theoretically and then empirically proven that there's no question where returns come from. And it's from the stock market, not from managers. Now, just let me illustrate a little bit with a couple examples. When I ask most people, who do you know of when you think of a money manager, or a fund manager, or a wealth manager, who comes to mind? Well, I only ever get three names. And it's always basically the three names. Well, in fact, it's always the three names. The first one that always comes up is Warren Buffett, because Warren Buffett, you know, the Oracle of Omaha, he's known as the guru when it comes to investing. Right behind that would be Peter Lynch. Peter Lynch put Fidelity on the map many years ago, back in the 70s into the 80s, when he created the Magellan Fund. It had nine straight years where he beat the S&P 500, which was like rock star, 9 years beating the S&P. Because understand, ladies and gentlemen, the S&P is really, was for many years, was the benchmark to outperform. I mean, if you could outperform the S&P, it said that you're beating the market. Of course, that's become very difficult to do because we're more of a global economy besides other factors. But another name that comes to mind, sometimes you hear this name, is Bill Miller. He was with Legg Mason, and he had quite a interesting winning streak for 15 years through the 90s into 2005. But what's interesting when you start to look at this, when you look at the last decade, it's always been implied that managers beat the market. Hence, returns come from managers, not the market. When there's nothing further from the truth when you look at the science, and the science is is easily, I think, understood when you start to look at blind random luck compared to how managers have performed. You rarely ever see the manager that has more than a two-year uptick. In other words, beating the market 2 years. In fact, when you compare managers consistently beating the market to blind random luck, just a bell-shaped curve, or monkeys throwing darts at a Wall Street Journal, or monkeys picking red or black and that correlating into choices, what we find is that basically random luck and monkeys outperform managers. Because when you look at the statistics, it's interesting. Warren Buffett's been wrong 40% of the time and still has built a very profitable fund. But, you know, he doesn't buy stocks as much as he buys companies, Warren Buffett. But when you start to look at the data, and I got it very specifically here, okay, I have a chart, and I've seen this chart many years. It's just a bell-shaped curve, you know, upside down. The chances of managers beating the market basically works out to 15% of the managers beat the market half the time. But it's never the same 15%. So what that then, if you switch it around, is very clearly stating is 85% of the time managers are not beating the market. Well, then becomes the bigger question. Once you answer the question, do returns come from managers or the market? It's very clear it comes from the market, not from managers, because there's no data whatsoever to support managers consistently beating the market. In fact, if you look today, there was a recent study done of 968 U.S. stock funds that have existed the past decade, and they found that none of them had beaten the S&P for more than six straight years. And so that's just blind random luck. And what we find is it's not about the managers, it's about owning the entire marketplace. It's understanding where risk premiums come from, owning large, owning small, owning all the developed, all the emerging markets, understanding that you never know what asset class is going to be the winner, so you want to own all of them. And you realize that by owning all of them, you're going to have some losers along the way, but the winners always pick up the losers. A rising tide raises all ships. The market has always hit new highs and continues to hit new highs, even though I can go back, ladies and gentlemen, for the last several decades and find newspaper headlines or magazine headlines from very reputable, well-known publications that say the stock market's dead or equities are dead or this is manager's hot or this manager's not. And it makes for what we call entertainment or investment entertainment, investainment. But in reality, it doesn't put any more money in your pocket, because when you look at the actual data, we find that the monkeys are outperforming the managers more consistently. And in fact, when you start to look at the data, once you get past 2 years, the two-year mark, when you look at between 1 and 10 years, whether monkeys are beating the managers, the first 2 years, the managers have beat the monkeys. But when you look at that from years 3 to 9, we don't see that at all. In fact, during that time frame, there's a whopping disparity of 13.6% for the monkeys versus 4.4% annual average for the managers. So The question at hand: Do returns come from the market or come from managers? Ladies and gentlemen, they very clearly come from the market. And in fact, if you're listening to this and would like to learn more about that, I'll send you a book. You call the office. You need to call the office, 814-867-5745. 814-867-5745. Introduce yourself. Let me know that you heard this podcast, another podcast, and I will get a book sent out to you called Main Street Money that really pulls back the curtain on the a lot of what's happened in the market and very clearly shows a lot of the marketing techniques versus the actual science of investing. Well, with that being said, this is Paul Nichols, the investor coach, pulling back the curtain and exposing the truth about money and investing. We want you to be a successful investor. And successful investors are not only successful, but they have peace of mind. Knowledge is power. The rich get richer. That's not by accident. It's by design. If you need to get educated, need to get coached up, ladies and gentlemen, reach out and get you a coach. Pay him a fee. Get off that commission schedule and start understanding that there are fiduciary scenarios out there where you can pay a fee and know that the advice you're getting is fiduciarily sound. With that being said, my name is Paul Nichols. Again, I'm the president and founder of Financial Abundance, a registered investment advisory firm located in Happy Valley, State College, Pennsylvania, with offices in Lewisburg. I hope this finds you well. If you want more information, FAI Coach, FAI Coach. Have a great day, and thank you for listening.